The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
We've been making our way, we're continuing to make our way, and we'll do so for a while through the epistles of John. And as we've been doing that, what happens and what becomes evident within the epistles is that there is a division within the church. It's actually not within the church. There's a division that has caused a them, a them and an us group to appear. So today we're going to focus specifically on this them and us group, and we read about it in 1 John chapter 2, 18 to 29. I'm not feeling well, so if I stumble over words today, just yell them out and correct me and we'll be right. All right, here we go. 1 John chapter 2, 18 to 29. We're talking about the them and the us. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we might be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. Now, right throughout history, sadly, the reality is that division happens within the church. And this division happens for many reasons. Years ago, when I was at college and I was learning to preach, I would regularly preach at a church in country Victoria. This church started at 11 a.m. And they did this because when the church first started, there was a whole lot of farmers in that church. They were dairy farmers, and so they had to milk the cows before they came to church. So the leadership thought about this after a time and said, well, now that there's less farmers in our church, in fact, there's only one farmer in our church who does that, we think we should start earlier at 10 o'clock because that gives people a chance to come, be here on time, we can have fellowship after church, and we can still get home for lunch. And so majority of the church and the leadership decided that they're going to start the church not at 11 but at 10. Now, there's a whole group of people who said, you can't start church at 10 o'clock. And so they left. And they went to the church down the road that started at 10 o'clock. That's a true story. Division. Times when brothers and sisters in Christ have different perspectives and they go different ways. They still recognize each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, but they also recognize that perhaps there's wisdom in worshiping in different parts of God's kingdom. That's a division that results in a them and an us. But what I want us to understand is as we're going this morning through this passage, we're not talking about that sort of division. So take away, when I'm talking about these things, take away that idea. The them and us is not between believers, not between those who we say are part of God's kingdom. The them and us is a very significant division that is taking place in this last hour. Now, the last hour is the times between the first and second coming of Jesus. It's also known as the last days. This is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. And this is how you know it is the last hour. They went out from us. And so what we're seeing in this verse here is that there are actually two types of Antichrist. There is the Antichrist. That's a single individual. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul calls him the man of lawlessness. He will be revealed at the appointed time. He is still to come. Scripture says he's already lost. John's not focusing on particularly on that individual. The focus here is on the many antichrists. And these antichrists are already around in the first century. And what we're going to look at is the characteristics of these antichrists. And to do that, the easiest way to do that is we'll just read the verses that talk about the antichrist. Dear children, this is the last hour, so we've already read two of the verses that talk about the antichrist. You have heard the antichrist is coming, and even now many antichrists have come. They were part of us, and then they went out from us. Chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is a Christ. Such a person is antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. So we've already read those two. All the other verses that talk in Scripture about the antichrist, 1 John 4:3, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. And 2 John chapter verse 7, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. And that's it. In the scriptures, that's all the verses that contain the word antichrist. Lots of conversation happens around those few verses, doesn't it? And when you put these together, what you can see very clearly is a defining characteristic of an antichrist, of the many antichrists. It's a theological one, isn't it? That they do not believe that Jesus is a Christ. That they deny that Jesus has come in the flesh. And so they're the sort of people who will say, oh, Jesus never existed, or he was a historical figure, but he wasn't God, or he taught good morals, but he isn't the only savior. So they've got a theological viewpoint about who Jesus is, and they've come to the point of saying there is no way that Jesus can be God. There is no way that Jesus has come in the flesh. There is no way that Jesus is the Savior. Do you know people like that? People who deny that Jesus has come in the flesh. That's what you're thinking of, people who deny Jesus coming in the flesh. Do you know people like that? Now I want you to think of those people and go, what sort of people are they? Are they mean and evil and vindictive? Are they morally bankrupt and the scum of society? Are they people who make your Christian life miserable? Well, maybe some of them are. But isn't it true that most of the people who have this theological view, most of them are actually quite, well, they're quite nice. They're nice people. If you look past their theology, you can see nice antichrists. And John makes a similar observation. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us. He's talking about some of the antichrists. They went out from us. but they didn't belong to us. Some of the them that John's talking about, they were part of us. They were at the door welcoming as we came in. They were part of our connect group. We ate the Lord's Supper with them. They were standing around the baptism pool when we were baptized. They sang worship songs alongside us. In hindsight, we know that they don't belong, but before, they looked like they belonged. They looked like they were part of the part of the community. This is the sort of people that John is talking about. And he calls them antichrists. And again, you start thinking about those sorts of people. What kind of people are those, when you think about their character and all that sort of stuff, what kind of people are those who do come to church, pardon me, and then decide not to come to church, and then they go out and they live their life and they're denying Jesus, but isn't it true that they're nice people as well? Don't we know a lot of nice antichrists? Sometimes if we needed help when we were sick, they actually came over and vacuumed our house and did our washing and cooked a meal. And when our car broke down and we were stuck, they lent us their car. And sometimes we even go out and we have coffee with them because we have a shared history. Now, we know that they don't believe in Jesus. We know that they didn't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. We know that they're not going to acknowledge God. But aren't they nice? And see, ironically, it's because they're nice that that's what actually causes the issue. You see, nice antichrists are very effective antichrists. When they invite us to their grandchild's first birthday party, yes, it's on a Sunday. It's always on a Sunday. And you know and they know that you're going to miss church, but oh, they're such nice people. Let's go. We should go. And who knows? Maybe they'll come to church one time if we ask them. And their oldest son, you know, that oldest son who's a bit of a spunk, a little bit older than our daughter, he's such a nice boy. And he's got such a good job. And sure, he hasn't been at church for ages, but you know our daughter, she'll be able to convince him to come back to church. We should let them date, because that would be nice. And our son and their son, they have so much in common. They really love playing sport together. And the games always seem to be on Bible study night, and you know. But if the boys hang out, our son will have a chance to show him Jesus, and that'll be nice. They're such nice people. And we want to kind of make sure that we keep having a nice relationship with them, don't we? And so what we're inclined to do is we kind of stay nice by stopping. We stop talking about church and we stop talking about faith and we stop talking about Jesus, because we don't really want to upset them too much. And we stop asking them to come to ministry events because we know they'll say no anyway and we don't really want to cause a fuss with them. And we stop praying in front of them because that makes them feel awkward. And we want to be nice Christians, don't we? You know what else is nice? An episode of the Teletubbies is nice. The Teletubbies is a kids program where Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala and Po would go on fun adventures in Teletubby land. And in every episode they roll on the ground and they laugh and they run around and they're watching real children on their Teletubby bellies, which is a television. And when they greet each other, they say, "Eh-oh, Tinky Winky, eh-oh, Po." And in Teletubby land, the sun never burns you because the sun is actually the face of a baby. And everything in Teletubby land is really, really nice. And it's all fake. You see, the whole agenda of Teletubby land is to lull children into the false sense of security and hide the truth that the world is full of brokenness and hurt and pain. But we want it to be nice. Brothers and sisters, we can't let the fact that the antichrists are nice stop us from seeing the ultimate agenda. The ultimate agenda of the antichrist is that they want to lead you astray. That's the ultimate agenda. 2 John verses 7 and 8. They don't acknowledge that Jesus has come in the flesh. They are deceiver. And then he says, "Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for." You see, in this, under this niceness, there's this ultimate agenda which the spirit of the Antichrist has, and it's to lead you away from Jesus. What they're trying to do is to make you question your belonging. They want you to stop being one of us and start becoming one of them. They want you to lose your trust in Jesus. And they'll do it really, really nicely. And some of them might not even know that they're acting in such an antichrist manner. But here is the reality. For the sake of being nice to nice people who deny Jesus is the Christ, I have seen a generation of people transact out of the church and into the world, because they were led astray. For the sake of being nice and having their daughter married to a nice man, I've seen well-intentioned parents now praying continually for their daughter who has been led astray, all too late realizing that courting and becoming girlfriend and boyfriend is not an evangelism technique. And for the sake of being nice, I have seen so many mateships that have taken place where the phase of, "Oh, this is a chance to talk about Jesus," is turned into they never stop talking about sport. Brothers and sisters, just as it was in the first century, so it is today. This is the last hour, and many nice antichrists have come. We continue to be surrounded on a daily basis by those who deny Jesus. The nice antichrists still have the agenda to lead us astray. The call to each one of us is to recognize this agenda and to not lose who we are and what we have been working for as the gospel has been working in our life. John talks about the fact that we have eternal life and is reminding us constantly that we have eternal life. As those who have eternal life, we go through a daily spiritual journey being surrounded by these nice antichrists. And as we do that, I want us to notice what John doesn't say about them. John never says, "Run in fear." In fact, he does quite the opposite. "Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children," us, "are from God and you have overcome them." Who is the them? It's the Antichrist, isn't it? The many antichrists. We already have the victory. We already have overcome these nice antichrists. Why? Because greater, the one in who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Who has the greatest spirit here? It's not those who deny that Jesus is the Christ. It's not those who deny that Jesus has come in the flesh. It's not those who have the spirit of the Antichrist. None of them are greater. We have the greater. The greater one is in us. And the greater one who is in us has already said, you have already overcome. You already have the victory. And so because we are the ones who are the overcomers, we are the ones who set the agenda. And that might sound, this is going to sound really strange, but the agenda that we have, we don't have to be nice. Rather, the agenda that we have is to be authentic. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. You don't need other people to tell you how to live. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, it's not counterfeit, it's authentic. This is the spirit that we have. We have the Christ spirit, not the Antichrist spirit. We have the authenticity, not the fake. Jesus has given us his anointing. Jesus has equipped us to be eternally his. To be eternally his. We don't have to hide it. We don't have to be embarrassed by it. So when all those nice people around us try and make us look like counterfeits, there's no rule that says that we have to accommodate the Antichrist's spirit because we don't want them to feel uncomfortable. And that is going to lead to awkward situations. And that might mean that you don't go to the Sunday party. And that might mean relationships won't continue. And it will mean that sometimes it's not going to feel nice. But we have the spirit of the Christ, not the, well, that was close. We have the spirit of Christ, not the spirit of the Antichrist. Which means that in this last hour, there is always going to be an us and a them. It's going to be the case. And if we're just nice to them, how are those people going to change? How will they know that they're following the spirit of the Antichrist if we're just nice? How will they know that they're following the spirit of the one who has already lost? How will they know that they can stop being one of them and they can actually become one of us? Those nice antichrists, they won't change because we are nice and we look like counterfeits. Those nice antichrists will change because we are confident, because we are unashamed, and because we are overcomers. Because we are living authentically as we remain in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we're here and we are surrounded in this world that we are in. We are surrounded by those who are going to try and lead us astray. And Lord, some of those people are so close to us that they're our own flesh and blood. And Lord, the temptation for us is to just keep being nice. But Lord, we're praying today as we think about these different people that our calling for each one of them is how can we be authentic? How can we not be counterfeit? How can we live out the authentic spirit that you have given us? As we live for you. Lord Jesus, help us to take what we have spoken about and heard this morning and apply it personally into our own lives as we seek to honor and serve you. We pray these things in Jesus' name and all God's people say, Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.